God of the living word, give us faith to receive your message, the wisdom to know what it means, and the courage to put it into practice. Amen.
Amen.
One of the joys of leading Messy Church is that we can choose the Bible stories we present to the children and adults who come, and we're not bound by the lectionary. So it was that several months ago, I told the Messy Church team I would like one session to be about Peter. We plan our programme some months in advance. Last Wednesday was our pre-Pentecost Peter session. I find it fascinating that it fell in the week after the Gospel reading, John 21, about Peter's reinstatement, which in Messy Church we called Jesus Gives Peter a Job to Do. Equally fascinating that I find myself preaching on Peter in that same week. We had not looked at the lectionary when we chose the Messy Church topic. I'm passionate about Peter, the disciple, that is, before Chris gets any worries. Hands up if you are a Peter fan. Any Peter fans amongst us? Not many. One or two. Bit hesitant. Thank you. I wonder if those of you that are, if you're passionate about him for similar reasons to me. For me, it is because of, and not in spite of, his failings. Where Peter is concerned, the penny often took a long time to drop. On the mountain, Peter wanted to preserve the moment. He wanted to put up shelters for Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Peter was impetuous. He jumped out of the boat when he saw Jesus walking on water, then took his eyes off Jesus, and perhaps could have been drowned in the rough sea had Jesus not come to his rescue. At the time of Jesus' arrest, he hastily cut off an ear of one of the high priest's servants' ears. Peter was fearful. He promised Jesus he would follow him anywhere, then hid after Jesus was arrested. Peter was fallible. When a short time later he was recognized as one of Jesus' followers, he lied three times, saying, "I'm not." In Peter, I recognize myself. Myself with all my failings and frailties. The passion comes because of what occurred in last week's gospel reading when Jesus reinstated Peter. Jesus accepted Peter, accepted him with all his failings and frailties. From the first moment he met him, Jesus recognized in Peter gifts that he could develop and use to further God's kingdom here on earth. And as we said in Messy Church, Jesus gave him a very important job to do. In today's reading from Acts, we heard a post-Pentecost Peter fulfilling part of that job in the coastal town of Joppa, modern-day Jaffa and Tel Aviv, restoring life to a female disciple, Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas and means gazelle. A gazelle is a graceful animal, so perhaps Tabitha was graceful. We don't know. But what we do know is that she was a dressmaker, who did good and helped the poor. Her dressmaking was admired by the widows who knew her. So much so that when Peter had been sent for and arrived from Joppa, before he had chance to pray, they showed him all that she had made. Perhaps this was their way of proving to Peter that she was worthy of being restored to life. Although Peter himself was proof that we do not have to be worthy to be accepted by Jesus and God and to receive healing prayer. Just prior to this account that we heard this morning of Peter fulfilling Jesus' command to feed my sheep, or as in messy church speak, to look after my friends, there is a record of Peter in the town of Lydda, about 10 miles inland from Joppa, healing a man who had been paralysed for 8 years. Following this healing, many people in the area turned to the Lord. After Tabitha was restored to life, the outcome was the same. All over Joppa, many people believed. So is this the purpose of Peter's actions? Is it to bring new life to others for their own sake? Or is it to bring more people to Christ? Or both? The call to heal and bring back to life was given first to Jesus to all 12 disciples. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, where it says, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons." The call to Peter and all the first disciples is also a call to us who believe in the risen Christ. So how do we heed this call? The call to heal and bring back to life. For many, this is understandably a difficult area. Interesting again to me, yesterday I looked at my church times and found there's a several pages feature about the NHS, and within it an article about healing and prayer. And again this morning on Radio 4 at the religious programme at 7 o'clock, I don't know if any of you heard it, there was an item about healing within the medical profession. Particularly, I think it was, I missed the beginning, but I think it was about mental health. And there were two points of view: the appropriateness of prayer and healing, and or not. And recently, I witnessed firsthand a misplaced exercising of the call to heal. Misplaced because those exercising it had not been invited, like Peter, to pray with a person in need, but had imposed themselves on that person. This could have so easily led to more distress for the prayed for person. On the other hand, if we prayerfully discern and have been given affirmation that we are called to pray with those in need, then it can bring great comfort and healing of the spirit. What is required is an invitation by those in need or those close to them, sensitivity, and in some instances, privacy. When Peter healed the paralyzed man, others were watching. When he prayed for the dead Tabitha, he did so in private. In the section in the Common Worship Pastoral Services book on the ministry at the time of death, it begins with, "Where possible, the minister prepares the dying person in private, after which the family and friends are invited to join the minister and the dying person." Such situations are deeply intimate and personal, requiring great sensitivity. But I am encouraged in my roles of volunteer and local locum hospital chaplain in Bedford and at Yarlswood, that if blundering Peter could be called to such a ministry, so by the grace of God and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, so can I. I believe in healing through prayer, together with medical intervention. I have personal knowledge and experience of instances of where prolonged periods of prayer, people's health has improved in either unexpected ways or more than might normally be expected. It can't be medically or scientifically proved, but neither can much of what we believe in. While reflecting on this subject this week, was it God's science, to read from a book entitled I Was Just Wondering by Jeff Lucas, a very down-to-earth and often amusing Christian international author, speaker, and broadcaster. He summed up my own thoughts. He wrote, "Let us affirm that God heals today, but admit that it doesn't happen as much as we'd like. Let us know that a theology of healing demands that we wrestle with a theology of suffering. And let us ask tough questions when someone has a revelation about healing, because some teaching on healing can definitely carry a health warning. It might be a matter of life or death. We are not all called in the same way, but what this intimate account of Peter the pastor also shows is that God values all who offer acts of service, great or small. Using our God-given skills, such as sewing, like Tabitha, or the support of those who have things in common, like the widows. Not forgetting the messengers who probably walked the 20-mile return trip from Joppa to Lydda to fetch Peter. Within our own church community, there are many messengers and Tabithas who work discreetly and diligently for the benefit of for others, for which we are truly thankful. After Peter performed these miraculous healings, resulting in many more believers, he was not put on a pedestal and rewarded with high-class accommodation, but stayed in Lydda for some time with a tanner named Simon. Tanners, rather like the shepherds, were on the margins of society because they worked with the skin of dead animals. They were regarded as ritually unclean for much of the time. Not the obvious choice for a few nights B&B. Yet another way that Peter followed Jesus, by befriending the marginalised, setting another example to us all as to who we might be called to spend time with. Amen.